the stats, the salt, the sanity. And every so often, they talk about sports, too. Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
You know what? Every year we give our heart to Detroit sports, and guess what? Instead of just giving it to someone special, we just give it right back to them the following year too. There's no winning for us when it comes to Detroit sports. We're in a real lull, but guess what? It's Christmas. It's the holidays. Happy Hanukkah to Justin and his family. Russ, Merry Christmas to you. It's going to be a great 2021 because let's be honest, 2020. It can't really get any worse, can it? Like, I don't want to be.
Oh, don't say that. We have a week left. Don't say that.
But my co-host, Russ Ivanek, buddy, happy holidays to you, buddy. Really excited to do this show. This is the one we do every year, and it's always a good time.
Right. This is the fun one. I mean, we got a lot of awful stuff to talk about in Detroit sports and painful stuff, but this is a fun one that we do every year. Yeah, this is exciting.
And Sergeant Salty, Justin Marcus. This is the one where I feel like you can be the most calm because no matter what, we're like Russ said, we're going to talk about fun things. We're going to get a little angry, but we're going to have fun.
Oh, just you wait. Just you wait. Also, was that Weezer bringing us in this morning or this afternoon?
Jimmy Eat World.
Jimmy, God, I knew it.
Jimmy Eat World.
All right.
I don't think you did do it.
I don't think you did. Russ, Justin, over the last couple months, I've been throwing some stuff at you, and you're really like... You're just not locked into the bands. I mean, we're going to have to give you a little cheat sheet of who the musicians are that we have running on this show.
No, I promise you, the next 10 podcasts, I'll go on a heater. I'll get the next 10 in a row right off the bat.
Yeah, you want to add to your already sinking bets on the year? I'd be happy to tack this particular bet in there.
Clean slate, January 1. Here we come.
Clean slate, January 1.
You tell your bookie that.
Well, you know who else gets a clean slate January 1? The Detroit Lions. I mean, it doesn't change anything. It's still a really bad culture, as we were talking about before the show. Lions fall this past week 46-25 to the Tennessee Titans. As predicted, Derrick Henry, 24 carries, 147 yards, and a rookie who may never be able to step on the field again because he was literally planted into Tennessee's field off of Henry's stiff arm. I don't know if you didn't see it, you got to go back and check it out. That was that guy's first play. That was his welcome to the NFL moment, was just being bounced like a basketball off the turf by Derrick Henry. It wasn't a great one, but see, to me, this one was so much tougher because for a while, it was an actual game. We were there. We were doing things. I knew the loss was coming, but it was one of those things where, like, could this really be one where maybe, like, last minute, Stafford gets the ball in his hands and we can drive downfield and try to win this, and obviously losing by 21 tells you no, it can't be that kind of game. But the surprise one to me, and I don't know how you guys feel about this guy, Russ, Ryan Tannehill, going from just completely given up on in Miami. This guy can't play in the NFL. Now, granted, he's in a great situation, but 21-27, 273 and 3 touchdowns. Granted, 75 of that is off a single pass to Corey Davis. Corey Davis with 4 catches for 110 yards, but this guy has figured out all I have to do is be efficient. If I can get to 250 and maybe a touchdown or two, we don't, because this is Tennessee has a terrible defense. They just have a perfect offense working for them right now, and Tannehill seems to be the guy.
It is infuriating to watch, especially this one where you saw Stafford showing off some top five just athletic ability with some of the plays he's making. But far, far, far away from top five production. And then Tannehill the exact opposite the other way. Tennessee coming into this was a top three expected points added per play offense in the league. They're now number one because of what they did. For what it's worth, the Lions worst on defense in that time. But it is that offensive staff's going to get gutted this offseason because they're all getting promotions to other teams. And that's the only way we can stop them, apparently.
Yeah, it's insane. On the other side of the ball, Stafford, 23 of 32, 253 with one touchdown. Marvin Jones, 10 catches, 112 and one touchdown. Marvin stepped up in this game, really had a good one. Running backs altogether, 123 yards on 27 carries. Leading rusher was DeAndre Swift, 15 carries for 67 yards and two touchdowns. I will take the two touchdowns in lieu of the yards. Swift is making improvements from week to week. He's getting better and better and better. Granted, everybody's like, oh, well, he's not busting out for these big runs. Well, we're a really bad team, so he's not going to. There's a reason that Barry Sanders was the last guy we consistently had rushing for 100 yards, because Barry was just that much more talented than everyone else. I'm not saying anything against Swift, but Swift isn't Barry Sanders. Swift will be a great running back. Everybody else has to remember he's still a rookie, Justin.
Yeah, the running core has always been the concern that we focused on for a very long time. He has to be that guy. Like, we had a nice shot with Adrian Peterson. I don't expect him to do anything that he's done this year again. Obviously, we know what's going on with Kerryon Johnson, which is nothing. So we have to have something. But you put it right that, hey, you can't have something when we aren't something. And what we aren't is an efficient offense. So he's got to be the guy, but there's bigger issues to solve to make him the guy.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think a lot of this has to go into the fact that, I still see the offense Bevel's putting out on the field as one that could be effective. But kind of like we said with Tennessee, I'll say with the Lions, they have a god-awful defense. I heard it on ESPN the other day, and I asked both of you, and I'll let you go first here, Jay. Can you name me that guy on the defense that you can honestly say, there he is, let's start building around him? Because I don't believe there is a guy on that defense right now.
Yeah, his name is Philip Devontae. He's a stud out of Bowling Green, and they should really focus on him some more.
So the guy we drafted in 2021?
I can't name a single person. No, I can't. But Philip Devontae, he's going to be my creative player in Madden very soon.
And you said stud and Bowling Green in the same sentence without laughing. Well done.
Man, I'm proud of you.
Yes, I did.
Oh, we waiting for me to jump in? Weigh in on this defense. No, there's nobody. I was waiting for an answer to come from the draft. Because that's their next pivotal piece is going to come from the draft. I would like to say it's Okuda, and he's still got a chance to be, but A, it's really tough to build around a cornerback. You should be building around someone who contributes to the pass rush. And it's Okwara, right, is nine sacks now on the year.
He's my guess, the best
pass rusher we got, but I'm old to be building around, and he's got some deficiencies in other parts of his games. Is it Trey Flowers? No, probably not. Like, no, I don't. There's not a centerpiece, which is probably good because the whole unit's trash anyways. Blow it up.
Yeah. I will say, in the history of us watching football and us being able to follow football, I don't think you can name the corners that you could have built around in the NFL on one hand. I mean, I think of Champ Bailey, Darrell Revis, and whoever else you might want to put in there that I'm not thinking of, because that's it.
Maybe Charles Woodson for a while.
Yeah, like I said, there are not many, so it's tough. That linebacking core is a joke. It's,
oh my god!
If anyone said Jared Davis or Javelani Tavai, I would have immediately cut you off. It's unfortunately, like you said, Russ, it's Okwara, but it's not even a safe bet to build around him because he's an older player. He's not a 22-year-old first round draft pick that we just got. So it's a real question mark, Jay.
One thing on Okwara, wasn't he the one that got the safety after we fumbled on the goal line? Did anyone else laugh when that happened because they were so pumped that they got 2 points even though they just failed to get seven? Like, this isn't the time to celebrate, boys.
This is Lions football.
I let myself believe for just a moment when that happened. Oh shit, they might be able to win this.
Oh god.
And shame on me. But it was like, oh, fumble at the goal, like, oh, here we go again. Oh, a safety. And they get it back. And they're charging down the field. Like, oh, maybe. No.
That is the one thing, because we were talking about it before the show, that it looks like this offense, this whole front office is likely going to get torn down and built back up from the studs after this year, regardless of who they bring in. That is the one thing I will say I like about Bevel. Bevel gets on the 2-3 yard line, and he says, screw it, we're not punting. We're not kicking the field goal. We are punting. We're not kicking the field goal. We are 100% going to drive this in, or we're going to leave you at the two. And I mean, I like that because over the years, it was, it almost seemed to me like with Patricia and even Caldwell a little bit, it was, okay, it's third down. Let's just get Prater on the right side of the hash he wants to be on because we're kicking. Bevel's saying, no, we can score. We can score. So I do like that. But yes, it was that thing of could have had seven. We got two. Let's all celebrate because we're Detroit Lions fans and this is all the points we can get. We love it. Obviously tough one. And then I never heard, and I haven't seen anything on the report either, if they just took Stafford out because they knew maybe let's not get Matt beat up any more than we have to, or if there was an injury on it. I haven't seen anything since then, but I got to believe if Stafford's healthy, Stafford doesn't want to come out of a game. So I have to think there's something they're not telling us about, or they're just realizing, hey, this is a really good trade piece we're going to have in the offseason because we need to build everything back up. So
I don't know. I haven't seen reports, but I don't know. I might think it's the other way that you finally go, hey, we let you play. Look at this.
Yeah.
I got to save you from you right now.
Yeah, and I completely
agree. The only thing I'm afraid of is that they're walking on ice with him. Like, he's had so many different head coaches. He's been the longest, like, fixture in the building that if they just kind of let him do what he wants to do and they're, like, a little sheepish to, like, maybe tell him no, he's got all the respect from his teammates that he's the hardest MF-er in the world. I forgot who said that on his team. But, like, if he's got, like, license to do whatever he wants, that's probably not the culture they want either. So someone's got to eventually be like, bro, I'm up here. You're over here. Please stop.
You know, though, I will say if you're a franchise, and I'm not saying Stafford is, I'm just saying this from that perspective. If you're a franchise quarterback, I can't think of a franchise quarterback that's in the league right now or that has been recently that you can't say probably had license to do whatever they want. Brady, as much as you want to think Belichick kept everybody in line, Brady pretty much had control. Hell, Peyton Manning used to just call the plays in the huddle. Like they had an offensive coordinator, but he just kind of checked with Peyton every once in a while to see if he needed help. Aaron, I guarantee you, Aaron Rodgers doesn't, like, take a lot of flack from anyone there in Green Bay.
Yeah, and Jim Caldwell was that offensive coordinator for a while. Wow, we should have seen that coming.
Yeah. So I will say that Stafford having run of the facility doesn't bother me that much because from what we're hearing and what we're seeing, everyone seems to think this is the guy that needs to be here, so we might as well treat him like that guy because I feel like with how bad they are, the moment you start questioning Matt Stafford is the moment Stafford's going to go, oh, wait, you don't want me here? Okay, maybe I will give up on Detroit and we can turn this into the messy divorce everybody expects to see every offseason.
Maybe that's what I want for here. Christmas.
Spoiler, geez.
All right, so this week, real quick, this week the Lions take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers the Saturday after Christmas. No surprise here. Tampa Bay is a 78% favorite with Tom Brady, Mike Evans, and all these guys playing great football. Spread's only 9.5, which I expected it to be a lot worse. Over under 54. We're going to get this one out of the way real quick because we've got other things we definitely want to get to. I'm going to be pretty fast with this. This is a 31 to probably 17 loss for the Detroit Lions.
I got more of a blood sport in this one. Almost the entire defensive staff might not be coaching come Sunday. The head coach might be the interim to the interim head coach, a la Dwight Schrute. Who knows what's going to happen? 42-24, Tampa Bay walks over, probably 11 guys on the field, hopefully 11 guys on the field, looking over to the sideline trying to figure out, hey, why are those three podcast hosts calling plays? It's going to be ugly, guys.
I'm going to follow suit. I'm really hoping that we get like a Giselle sighting somehow. Maybe Tom Brady will pass and catch the ball at the same damn time. Because Tampa Bay is going to win 28-7, and we're going to be lucky to get a singular touchdown, and it will be from Swift. And that's all we get. Nothing in the air for Stafford this week.
Nothing in the air from Stafford. That's uncomfortable. Look, either way we see it, this is, I said, at best a 6-10 team. If we can squeak out one of these, I don't see them winning the next two games. It would be an astonishing thing for me, especially since I feel like Tampa Bay, while they are a good team, they're not necessarily holding anything over anyone right now. They're still working to get their spot in the playoffs solidified. So it's not like they're going to take it off just because it's the day after Christmas kind of thing. So we'll see what happens there. Big news, though, for the Detroit Lions. Center, I believe, yeah, he is a center now. They moved his offensive lineman around so much, you have to just kind of hope. Center Frank Ragnow, punter, what's his first name? Fox.
Adam.
What is
Jack,
it?
Jack.
Jack Fox. Jack. Yeah, Jack Fox. Thank you. Did you say Chatham?
I said Adam Fox. Oh, Adam, I think that's Fox, a defenseman for some team in the NHL.
punter Jack Fox.
Yeah, I believe the Rangers. Yeah,
and tight end TJ Hockenson, all named to the Pro Bowl. Fox and Hockenson have been named starters. So I want to get into all three of them, but I want to ask you guys first. With the numbers he's put up this year, with how he's doing, last I heard he was, you know, top five in receptions, yards, and all that. After only a year, basically a year and a half career, because he missed a majority of last year. Justin, is TJ Hockenson the best tight end in the NFC North?
Oh, God. So that would be, what, Trey Burton for Chicago, I believe, right?
Yep.
Green Bay's got the dude that just put up a bunch on us.
Yeah, I don't believe Rudolph is the tight end in Minnesota anymore. They drafted some other guy that they are super, super, super high on. As I'm looking right now, this is called vamping, people. This is when you don't have the answer, so you're talking as best you can to.
All right, I'll jazz hands for you.
Jazz hands.
Fill up some space.
Jazz hands don't work on radio, Russ. I hate to break it to you.
And yet we're talking about them, so don't they?
Yeah, you do you, man. As soon as I see his name, I'm gonna know it. By the way, while we're talking about Minnesota, can we talk about the fact that a receiver cussed out Cousins for throwing the football the
other
day?
That's hilarious, by the way.
Tyler, it's not Tyler Conklin.
No, let's be clear. That is not the first time that Kirk Cousins has been cussed out.
No,
probably not even the first time on the field.
No, not even a little.
No.
God, my mic doesn't want to stay next to me.
While you're looking at it, though, but like we've been watching Hockenson, and I've been at least diligently comparing his numbers. Sometimes we talk about it, sometimes we gloss over it, but he has statistically, which I don't know if I'm using that word correctly, Russ. he has statistically.
I don't know. Let's see how the rest of the sentence goes.
He has statistically gotten better year over year, and he's more featured in this offense. I still have a bone to pick that whenever he catches the ball, he's just on the ground immediately. I want to see him in stride. I want to see him stiff arm someone like Derrick Henry did and get 15 more yards on the play, but it doesn't happen. So, Brad,
what's that?
Go ahead, Russ. Go ahead.
Oh, I was saying, I could actually give you something to back that up. I don't have the yards after catch numbers, but out of the top 50 players in receiving yards this year, he has the fewest 20-plus yard catches out of any of them. So, yeah, he's very much a catch and done.
I swear to God, it happens every game. It's just that boom, fall down, or just die, boom, fall down.
So, Minnesota, you have Tyler Conklin, Hale, can't see his name.
Eberry.
To the victors.
Yes, that. Hale, it looks like Hentages, I can't really see his name. Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith. Green Bay, you have Dominique Defney, Mercedes Lewis, and then Robert Tonyan. So,
I'm going to say yes. TJ Hockenson is the best tight end out of the NFC North.
Just by nature of us having to look it up.
But I honestly think Chicago might have the second best one. I mean, Kyle Rudolph used to be the slam dunk first pick, but Kyle Rudolph just isn't Kyle Rudolph anymore, so.
Yeah, and Trey Burton was supposed to be the ship for Chicago, but that hasn't panned out quite nicely yet. So
Jay says yes, Russ.
Oh yeah, he's easy. He's a he's probably a top five tight end in the league right now, and the NFC North not exactly known for their tight ends. So yeah, I'd say he's the best one there right now. And he damn well better be being picked in the top 10.
Which you sort of tailored me into my next question. I mean, we know he's not number one in the league. But I was going to say, where does he come in the NFC? Because, as I've said a million times before, the number one in the NFC for me is Zach Ertz. So, but putting TJ Hockenson right there with him for what he's doing, I mean, I think any day of the week, it's Travis Kelce, and then it's Ertz, Kittle, and then right now, probably TJ Hockenson. You want to make cases somewhere else, that's fine, but T.J. Hockenson right now is playing great football. He's playing the kind of football we haven't seen out of a tight end ever in Detroit. So it's kind of refreshing. And, Jay, it's sort of backing up your very, very premature Gronk tweet from week one of last year, that this guy is capable of being a hell of a football player.
It's one of those things that isn't going to age well immediately, but over time. Because, like, Hockenson to me, like, when I look at him compared to the rest of, like, NFC, like you're just talking about, he's not, like, Steak and Shake, but he definitely isn't Jay Alexander's or, like, Prime 29. He's, like, Applebee's or Qdoba. He's right in the middle. He's not trash food, but he's not elegant food. Like, he's a middling, I'm here to have a good time kind of restaurant.
He's bottomless $3 margaritas fun. Is that what you're trying to say?
I mean, that sounds like a riot to me. Yes.
You need help.
Yeah, but I don't know how to follow that up.
T.J. Hockenson and Fox, both starters for the Pro Bowl, kind of a big thing right now. I mean, Fox has had a hell of a year. Hopefully, you know, he stays around in Detroit for a little while. Obviously, we'll have to find a special teams coordinator to help him that can keep helping him improve, but and doesn't call just completely incorrect plays at incorrect times, despite your feelings on it. So it should be cool. Frank Ragnow, I got to think he's probably going to accept the invitation, but then say, I'm good. I just broke my throat. I'm probably going to be taking a little bit of a break from football for the next couple months while I have an opportunity.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, God.
Yeah. No, he needs that one out.
Exactly. Yeah.
But and then I asked that, but then I want to say, is there anyone else on this team that you would say maybe should have probably gotten a look for the Pro Bowl? I mean, we know it's none of the running backs, so you can eliminate that one altogether.
I mean, the only other one that really has the talent relative to their position, in my opinion, would be Galladay, but he hasn't played enough to qualify for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ragnow played every single snap. He was the only offensive lineman up until his injury to do that, right? And was the highest graded one by PFF. And the highest graded center. Fox, number one in net and gross punting yards. Hockenson, third in receiving yards by tight end, fifth in catches, top 10 in touchdowns. Is anyone else on that echelon compared to other people in their position? I don't think so.
No. And anyone that is going to be playing, you know, in the playoffs. They're not already done for the year. So I give you that. Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I can think of, like, it sucks that Galladay hasn't played a complete year, but, like, if someone bows out, does Marvin Jones get a look to be brought in as, like, a substitute wideout that probably won't even see the field? I don't, like, they'll just be on the team type deal. So, I don't, maybe Marvin, but, again, his volume isn't high either.
Yeah, my only two were Marvin, and then I think just because of that offensive line, I think they've found a couple pieces they want to hold on to and really like. So I would say you may attempt to make a case for Taylor Lewan, but I think at the end of the day, Ragnow is the lineman going for Detroit, so you're not going to double up on linemen, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're definitely not looking at this team and going, I need 40% of that offensive line.
Exactly, exactly.
Yep.
And as you guys mentioned, Galladay not playing enough. I mean, that's definitely something that we're all going to be discussing over the next couple months as this new front office gets put together. Guess what? There's a contract they have to address here, and they have to figure out what they want to do. And I think, listen, if you're Kenny Galladay, I think you're going to see your money. I really do think you're going to see your money. But unfortunately, I think you would have rather just signed whatever they were offering you this past offseason and worried about maybe renegotiating as you go, because you have not seen the field a lot the last couple of years. Granted, you're their big target. They're going to you very, very consistently, but it says a lot about durability with you. And I don't feel very comfortable spending top receiver money on a guy that may or may not make it through 8 of 16 games in a season. Now, granted, when he's in there for those 8 games, he's gonna put on a show. He's going to get his numbers. That's still 8 games I'm not getting out of you. I don't see the thing in paying you a full salary for 50% of work. So something we'll be debating over the next couple of months as they kind of work through this. But like I said, I fully expect him to get his money or get pretty close to money for market value of what he's worth. And right now that's worth a top 5 receiver when he can get on the field. kind of weird to say. You can honestly say right now the Lions can justify saying they have a top five receiver and a top five tight end on this offense. Now all we need is a
top one punter.
And a top one punter. Now all we need is maybe like a top 30 running back, and we'll be okay. That would be great. Moving on, they announced the college football playoff. No real surprise here. Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Ohio State 3, Notre Dame 4. Before we get to the predictions, we're just going to break down the first two games. We'll break down the championship a little later on after these two games take place. Before we get to it, I want to ask you both, though. Notre Dame and Clemson saw each other twice. First game, Trevor Lawrence did not see the field, COVID issues. Notre Dame won in double overtime. So it took them two overtimes to beat Clemson with their backup quarterback. Second game, which ends up being the ACC championship, Clemson takes them to task. They just put them in the ground, show them why they are who they are. Does Notre Dame, because that's the thing I heard, and they really had to overstress it when talking about this placement. Notre Dame's body of work is what got them in. Well, I hate to break it to you. Your body of work is going to double overtime with a team that didn't even have its best player. And then when that best player steps on the field, you can't get within 30 points of them. I don't know that that's a body of work that exemplifies a top four football team in college football. Thoughts? Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, you're missing the part of the body of work is that no one wants to watch Texas A&M or Oklahoma on TV, and putting Notre Dame at 4 is a better matchup to watch this go down for national television. That is the dirty secret that no one probably wants to talk about. Notre Dame shouldn't be in this, but they are.
By the way, Jay, I don't want you to worry. That little red dot on your forehead is just my wife's hunting rifle.
I was gonna say,
aimed square at your head.
Your house now.
Guys, if someone wants to eat my dinner, it's right here for you. I'm gone. That's what I'll leave behind.
I don't want it after it's got blood on it. I get that. This is all a revenue thing, and Notre Dame is the bigger sell than A&M, than Oklahoma. Even for a while, they were in the talks of Iowa State, but Iowa State got kind of shellacked by Oklahoma, so they fall out of it. So I get that. It's the bigger draw. But if that's the case, I understand. But at the same time, you have a potential to get on a very rare chance, we could have a third meeting of these two teams. And we already know what the outcome is going to look like if Trevor Lawrence is on the field. That's not an entertaining national championship to me. It's not even a little bit. Like, I would honestly take Iowa State against A&M in the national championship just for the fact that I know there's a chance it's going to be a real football game. As fun as they are, we've all sat watching that Super Bowl where it's 43-0 at halftime. Guess what we did? We turned on the PlayStation and started playing hockey because we were so bored with the Super Bowl. Like, that's what I'm saying. I want a real game, and if these two teams meet again, it's not going to be a real game. Now, granted, there's a very thin chance they're going to see each other, but stranger things have happened. So, but Russ, I mean, as you look at it, kind of a little more, did the body of work really show Notre Dame needs to be the number four team?
No, it didn't, in my opinion. I would have been fine with A&M or Oklahoma. And frankly, I like my life, so I would say Oklahoma is very watchable, quite enjoyable.
I didn't say they weren't enjoyable or watchable.
Didn't you? The only thing that makes this a tiny bit okay with me and why I'm going to ultimately end up passing on having a big issue with it is they forced Notre Dame into the ACC this year. And that's been my big complaint with Notre Dame. They're walking to these high records and they're playing whoever they want and they're cherry-picking opponents. It's nothing. But they actually had to play, granted, an ACC schedule, but they actually had to play a division schedule. That said, they didn't even win their own division. Why are they in the playoffs? What are we doing?
It's fair. By the way, I agree with everything you said, but the entire time you're saying that, all I keep picturing is my wife coming through that window behind Justin with like a ski mask, just coming around and just like choke right there, just taking them out. I think Oklahoma would be a very enjoyable, watchable football game.
I think they're wonderful.
They should be number one.
as someone that watches Oklahoma football every week, their offense is a lot of fun to watch. Like most Big Ten or Big 12 teams, they have no defense, but their offense is great to watch. I personally, like you said, Russ, I would have been great with A&M or Oklahoma. I don't think And this is just coming from years of Michigan, Ohio State deciding which of the two got to play in the bigger bowl over the years. It doesn't make sense to me how you can lose to a team that's already in and still get in. There has to be a farther fall when you lose to a team that's higher ranked than you than not falling at all.
Right. Yeah, especially when we're talking about a team that was already on the edge, right?
Yeah.
Four is the last one in. It's not like you lost to number one who's far and away. You lost to a team who was number three at the time.
Yeah.
Granted, they're two now, but why is there no penalty for that?
There needed to be a fall. That being said, Notre Dame takes on Alabama, who is the number one seed in the college football playoff. The line right now is Alabama giving 19.5. So take that what you will. Over under is 65. So if you think about it, basically they're expecting Alabama to score 45 points in this game to Notre Dame's 20. Guys, I'll let you pick apart this as you want to. Russ, over to you, Alabama, Notre Dame.
So what's frustrating about this is you're not going to beat Alabama trying to be Alabama. Mm-hmm. And Notre Dame is built very similarly. Great offensive line, strong defensive front seven. But there's a talent gap there, and it's noticeable. And you're never going to catch Alabama trying to run the same track as them. Every year I do the whole thing where I put out the net total yards and point differential per game, right, and show you where championship caliber teams have fallen historically. Right now that benchmark is about 160 yards net total yards per game above and a point differential of plus 22.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame falls below both of those. Alabama, 192 and 30, way above both. So Notre Dame, 120 and 16, the only one of the four who's not even close to that benchmark. It's not going to be close. It's going to be a bloodbath. And I hope Brian Kelly wallows in his own tears. Because honestly, he deserves it. So yeah, give me Bama by 100. Oh, I give a damn. Let's say 35-20 is what I'll take Bama to win by.
Okay. Oh, yeah, and after Brian Kelly cries and complains about, we might not even play if we get, you know, all that. All I can tell you is it's going to take the spirit of Manti Te'o's fake girlfriend coming back for you to ever have a chance in this game. I am with you. There is a reason when we talk about national championships of the last decade, Alabama's name can't be taken away from it. They're there. It's their tournament. It's their title. You have to go get it from them most years. And some years that has happened. Obviously, Dabo Sweeney has had a great track record against Nick Saban, and I think we're going to see that again this year. Not to tilt my hand, but I think there's a good chance we see that. Alabama is as close to a complete college football team as there is. I mean, I've said it numerous times. They're so good that where the weak spot is, you can't tell until these guys get into the NFL and you realize they were just good because of what they were playing around. Now, 9 times out of 10, that's quarterback because of the fact that the offensive line and receivers and running backs are so good that I could step into Alabama as quarterback. All I have to do is throw it in the air and someone's going to go get it with a red helmet. So, yeah, pretty much just chuck it up in the air. Let that number 11 with the red helmet go get it, and it's a touchdown.
Crimson. You can't be on the team now.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. That's not how you run a successful program. That's what Nick Saban would say. That's not how you run a successful program. That being said, I am going to take Alabama, and I'm going to take that number, and I'm going to add a little bit to it. I'm going to spot Notre Dame about 30 points because that's what they're going to need to keep this close. I say it's something around the scale of like probably 45 to 15. 44-14 Alabama.
So I share some of the same sentiment, but I'm having a different result in terms of the score. I have zero respect for Notre Dame. They joined the ACC and it was a 1-year deal, and they probably are just going to be out. And they're like, hey, thanks. That was a nice 2020 and never probably be a part of a conference again, which it would be true Notre Dame fashion.
Mm-hmm.
The book on Ian Book has been written, and I don't respect him either as a quarterback.
Be quiet. Shut your mouth. Ian Book is the one great part of that team. That dude is a hell of a quarterback. Hell of a quarterback. I will take you to task on that, my friend.
He is the shiniest piece of shit. He's the shiniest piece of shit in the farmhouse. I'm not too concerned about Ian Book. Okay? Here's the thing, though. Bama's going to win 30-14. It's going to be on the under. They're not going to run up the score. They're going to gracefully take a win, put Notre Dame to the side, and then unleash hell on who they play next, which I'm not going to reveal yet. But they have no need to bury Notre Dame. They can take Notre Dame. Notre Dame only scored 10 points against Clemson in the ACC championship game. I'm not worried about Notre Dame. Bama shouldn't be either. 30-14, Alabama. Roll Crimson Tide.
Okay. The man is the winningest quarterback in Notre Dame history. 2,600 yards, 15 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. He's got 139.5 QB rating against top 25 teams. Where are you talking about this not being a good book? Because this is one hell of a book. If I didn't have so many books to read, I'd read this book.
Join a conference. Stay consistent. Have a schedule.
But that's not in him that they aren't joining a conference. He's not the one saying don't join the conference.
He'll be a great quarterback for Denver or something in years to come. He's not going to be a starter. I'm not worried about him.
Well, that's where you're mistaken. Notre Dame quarterbacks, since Joe Montana, don't do well in the NFL. Brady Quinn, Jimmy Clausen, none of those guys have anything going for him right now.
He's just a shiny thing right now, and he can go away.
It's fine. Well, Jay,
Bama's going to take care of that.
Jay, you don't get to take that long of a breather, man. We're coming right back to you here. We got Clemson. We got Ohio State. I've got a non-functioning internet right now, so that I know that much about it. You got Clemson. You got Ohio State. Just trying to find the spread. Okay, this one a lot
35
closer.
35.5.
7.5. Clemson giving 7.5. Over-under 65.5, so those over-unders are staying right next to each other. Clemson, Ohio State, give it to me.
So, out of the four coming into this, Clemson's got one of the better defenses out of the four teams that are participating. Ohio State has one of the worst defenses. So I'm a little worried about Trevor Lawrence and what he might do to Ohio State, but I'm putting all my stock into Justin Fields, and I'm going with OSU. I think they're going to win this game 34-31, just coming in below the over-under, winning it by a field goal. Look, Trevor Lawrence, in an interesting year for his squad, being out, missing games, he's probably going to Jacksonville now, not the Jets, because they fucked that up. Trevor Lawrence, like, he has his career path, and Justin Fields should be the second quarterback taken off the board. He's got everything to fight for more than Lawrence, and I'll take the fight in Justin Fields and give me the Buckeyes to win 34-31.
All right, Rusty.
All right, I'm a little uncomfortable with Justin taking the Buckeyes, just on principle, but I guess he's just sticking to the rivers and the fields that he's used to. He can't exactly go chasing waterfalls, I guess. Sorry for the word.
Love it.
This is the interesting game. This is the fun one. Lawrence or Fields, round two. It was a great game last year, but we touched on it earlier. It took Notre Dame 2 overtimes and no Trevor Lawrence to beat Clemson. This is a juggernaut of a team. Going back to those two metrics, Clemson had the best total net yards per game. They had the second best point differential, only trailing Alabama. It's a juggernaut. Take Ohio State if you're betting, because that 7.5 spread's too damn big. But 31-28, I'm taking Clemson to win this one. This is the game to watch, New Year's Eve. Screw Bama. They're going to walk all over Notre Dame. This will be fun, but I'll take Clemson in a squeaker.
Okay, I like it. I'm going to make an actual bold prediction here. I am going to say, this is going to come back to either bite me in the butt or not, but whoever wins this game, that will be the number one quarterback taken in the draft between these two. This is their proving ground game. Whoever wins this one is going to that quarterback goes first overall. That being said, I don't think it changes anything. I think Trevor Lawrence is the number one overall pick in this draft, probably to Jacksonville. I like Clemson in this game. Clemson has been there. Clemson has done it. As much talent as you want to say Ohio State has, I just don't think they have all the pieces lined up to be able to go beat Clemson at Clemson's own game. It's just a better team. Like I said, they go up against a Notre Dame team, and without one guy, it's a close game. Put that guy back in, it's not even close. Not even remotely close. I see this as a 40 to 25 kind of win for, right under, but still close. 40 to 25 for Clemson, moving on to take on Alabama. Jay, I know, but I'm really kind of curious though. Was there that one reason that you said it has to be Ohio State?
To be honest, I'm not even gonna try to sugarcoat it. No, like it was more so just gut feel. It was just I watched Field destroy Michigan State, which that doesn't take too much. You can do that with probably safety scissors and a napkin, right? But Fields came in and took care of Michigan State. They ran all over us. He blocked at one point in time as if he was a lineman going down the field for his receivers. I've got some energy on Fields. I wish I could bet it from my phone. I can't do it just quite yet, but I'm going to OSU, man. And then it's good for the Big Ten too, which that's a tired song, but why not?
Why not? Absolutely. I'm okay with it. I have no problem with it. I was just curious because Clemson seems to be that team that you don't really want to bet against, but hey, you can make a lot of money if you bet against the underdog and it pulls out. So can't take anything away from me on that one. All right. So if you listen to this show for an extended period of time, you know that since we started, if we don't do anything else consistently, and let's be honest, we do have our inconsistencies, this is something we've done every single Christmas episode. So for the last three Christmas episodes, and we don't want to break this tradition because it is a lot of fun. We don't really try to get away from Detroit sports, so to focus on Detroit sports makes it that much more enjoyable. So, like we've done every year, we're going to do All I Want for Christmas Is what that particular person wants this Christmas or this following year in Detroit sports. So I don't know who wants to go. I'm gonna, judging by the look of it, someone looks really eager. We're gonna let the short little bald man go first. He looks very eager to open his presents. Plus, we don't know when Aaron's going to come kill him, so we might want to get this out of the way first. So, Jay, you know the drill. Here it is, and then you can go ahead and give us your answer.
Make my wish come true. You know that all I want for Christmas is
a legitimate chance. It sounds bleak. It sounds doomy and gloomy, but hear me out. The Lions are going to go down never winning anything with Stafford. The Pistons have been rebuilding since 2008. The Wings also rebuilding, but more importantly, moving away from their past and getting away from what they used to be, flipping the page to chapter two. Tigers obviously dealing with the fallout from trades and winning, trying to win at all costs and not having it work out. MSU is taking baby steps, and U of M seemingly seems like they're taking some of their final steps in the coaching department. We have nothing that has a legitimate chance yet. And that's all I want for Christmas this year, for these next seasons, is to have something with a chance. I think that chance comes by way of the Red Wings or the Pistons. We can get like the Vegas Golden Knights, if you will, for the Pistons, and they're just a bunch of misfit guys coming in that can build a chemistry and prove everyone wrong. Or we get the youth that's been cultivated by Steve Yzerman and Ken Holland a little bit and see someone actually have a chance where we're not like, oh, they got a safety. We have a chance to win this game? Nuh-uh. Welcome to Motor City, motherfuckers. I don't want to have that feeling anymore. I want a legitimate chance. And if I can't have that, I'll settle for a mascot with the Red Wings because they probably would need one. And if Gritty can do what he does and Philadelphia sucks and everyone's still having fun, then we can all have fun if the Wings got a mascot. So that's my gift part two.
Blabbering with unfactual information, which is confusing the general public.
Why you gotta hit me with the Bernie?
Not your first part, just the mascot. That's one thing I love about the Red Wings. There's no mascot. It's just it can be what we want it to be kind of thing. Plus, I don't want to see an octopus running around the running around LCA. That's just gonna scare. Yeah, just gonna scare so much. All right, over to the next. Time for Russ. Russ, you know the drill.
Make my wish come true. You know that all I want for Christmas is
Fox Sports Detroit back on my streaming devices. What the actual hell?
For those that can't see, Russ, we have a camera up right now so we can see each other to coordinate this a little easier. And Russ is about 2 inches away from his camera. I don't know who he's upset with on this stream, but hey, you do what you got to do.
I am upset with the Sinclair Broadcasting Group. for not getting the deal done with Hulu or YouTube TV. So all of the local broadcasts for the Pistons games, I'm shut out. I got to find some kind of alternative way of doing it because I don't pay for full cable. I have streaming services because I'm not going to pay for 100 channels I'm not going to use. Apparently, I'm not going to pay for the channels that I can use either. That's part of the reason I switched to Hulu from Sling is because they had Fox Sports Detroit. I'm so mad about it. I'm so mad. The Pistons are not great, but they're interesting and they're new, right? And that's all of this is predicated on whatever happens being able to watch it. And you're taking that from me when that was part of the agreement of why I was giving you money in the first place. And that hurts. But give me it back, please.
I like it. That'd be rough. I don't know what I would do without Fox Sports Detroit. I've already told Aaron, if we ever have to move out of state, that is the one thing I will pay the premium for them to hook up in my cable. I need Fox Sports Detroit. Tigers, Lions, or Tigers, Red Wings, Pistons. I can watch the Lions on the box score of ESPN. It's the same thing over and over again. But those other three I need to be able to see at least some of. So that one would be tough. I will grant you that. All right, here we go.
Make my wish come true. You know that all I want for Christmas is
a playoff win. I don't care by who. I don't care what it is. I don't give a shit if the Pistons win one game against the number one seed Milwaukee Bucks as the eighth seed. A playoff win. Because what it tells me is someone in those front offices for whatever team it is has finally found a way to turn the corner and finally found a way to make this team at least competitive enough that you can say they're in a position to win. Is that this year? Is that next year? Is that the year after? I don't know. But you have to win a game eventually to start building the steps. Obviously, the number one would be in 2021, I get to see for the first time since I was five a Lions playoff win. I would die to see it. I think it'd be amazing. At this point, I think it's more reasonable to say it's probably going to be a Red Wing or Pistons one. That's what I want. I just a playoff win because that's that team that you can go, all right, they figured out a way to do this with the big boys in the time when they have to. This isn't a regular season game in November. This is a big one. And it just gives you a little hope that someone in that front office has started putting the pieces in the right place that eventually we're going to move forward. And saying the Pistons are a long shot to make the playoffs or are likely a 7 or 8 seed is going to eventually turn to the Pistons are a middle of the pack, so they've got a chance. They even could play a couple games at home. To Pistons are a favorite in the East. Got to get there eventually. We'll see what happens out of it. So that, for me, it is a playoff one.
I got to say that it's comforting that we're all kind of wanting the same thing because you and I both want success and hope. And Russ just wants to be able to watch it. So we're kind of all in the same boat. We got to be able to do it and see it.
Yeah.
I'm not asking even that they're good. I just want to see it.
He wants to watch the bad games. He just wants to see them. it's tough. Right, listen, and this is the thing. We could ask for anything. I could be. All I want for Christmas is a Super Bowl victory. It's not rational. I would rather ask for something there's a chance of because you can really build off of it. So we'll see what comes out. So that's what we want for Christmas. Hopefully it's a great Christmas. Hopefully 2021, a lot of fun. As we reach the end of 2020, now this is the topic these guys knew nothing about. They had no idea what we're going to do. I came up with this a couple weeks ago. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to work. If it doesn't work well, guess what? You're never going to hear it because I'll just cut it out and put the ending right there. This is my topic for you, and I'm going to let Russ go first here.
Oh, shit.
Russ.
Oh, thank God.
Broad spectrum here. I'm not asking you to pick one sport. I'm telling you to put them all together. Sports in 2020 have been what?
Oh, difficult. not only from a logistics standpoint, this is actually a more nuanced answer than I thought it would be. Not just from a logistics standpoint of navigating the bubbles and trying to follow COVID protocols, but as just a fan watching it. I've struggled more than I ever have, because really I haven't been faced with this kind of thing, is going, should I even be watching this right now? Do I even agree with what they're doing right now? Like with the NFL bouncing around to wherever and guys infecting their entire team from one week to the other, and how baseball did it too, that it has never been more difficult for me to be a sports fan. Fox Sports Detroit, you're not helping that by making it more difficult for me to watch games, mind you. But yeah, it's sports have been difficult for a number of reasons this year.
All right. Jay, sports in 2020 have been?
Dan Cleary. No.
Told you. I told you the answer could work.
I mean, I want to say in a way we've kind of evolved. And by that, I mean, before the math equation was sports is a child's game that you get paid lots of money to play, right? But now we're taking it's a child's game and it's a lot of money, it's a business, but we also are dealing with human beings. And that's where the pandemic comes in, because you have to take care of humans who are playing a child's game in a big ass industry of a business. So I'll say evolved to put a positive spin on it, because we all realize that they're all humans. It's like when you think your teacher just stays at the high school and that's it. They've got nothing else going for them. They just stay at school. They never sleep. I know Russ is having a breakthrough right now.
But what? I assumed the substitute was just because they had to go to the bathroom and make up for those weeks where they didn't go to the bathroom because they were teaching. What do you mean they had lives?
Miss Hart had a life. She was out of the facility.
Miss Hart definitely had a life. She let you know about it.
So, no issues there. We evolved that we have to take care of human beings on top of the luxuries that we get to enjoy. So. That's what I got. And Dan Cleary.
It's weird. I came up with this question. You think I would have the answer just sitting there right, ready to go. And I really had to stew on this. Sports in 2020 for me have been a perfect model of the world we live in. You have the people who are willing to go along, do what it takes to be successful, to make everything happen the way so we can all have what we want. And like we've seen the last couple of days, you have those people that don't really seem to give a shit about anyone but themselves. I'm not going to follow the rules. I'm going to do what I want to do, because what I want to do is all that matters. And guess what? Those are the people that in the end are hurting, are going to hurt it. Washington football team doesn't have their starting quarterback this week because he couldn't just stay home for a couple of days. The Houston Rockets and or whatever team ends up getting stuck with this bearded pain in the ass are now having to go through all this because he didn't want to stay home. He may have stayed home. He might have just invited a bunch of naked ladies over to freaking breathe in his face. But that's what it's been.
Weird kink, but I'm not here to shame.
You do what you got to do. It's been, for me, it's been a perfect example of if we all do what's necessary to be successful and to make this everything go better, guess what? In this time, we had a World Series. We had an NBA championship. We had a Stanley Cup playoff and championship. We had all these things during one of the deadliest times of our life because the people that needed to do the right thing did the right thing. Baseball got really scary for a while there. We didn't know what was going to happen. We were pretty sure the Atlanta Braves were no longer going to exist because they were all going to have COVID and die, but it didn't happen. We got through this. So for me, sports has been a perfect model of, if you could take that and somehow make it work on a large scale, we got a big chance here. But unfortunately, you got to eliminate those people like Dwayne Haskins and James Harden that are going to kill you on it.
I can't do it.
You look like a shopkeeper from A Christmas Carol. You really do. I hope you know that. Sorry.
So just have those people who can't play by the rules say they don't like Oklahoma, and Aaron is the Lord and Savior we've all been dreaming of.
You're trying to keep yourself alive. I appreciate it.
All right. That's going to do it for us here in Armchair Sports Talk. First and foremost, I hope everybody has an amazing, amazing holiday season. A happy new year to everyone. 2021's coming, and we're all crossing our fingers that that's the year we've all been waiting for. And to these two, it's another year. It's another great season of Armchair Sports Talk. Couldn't do it without either of these guys. I said all I want for Christmas is a playoff victory. All I want for Christmas is season 4 of Armchair Sports Talk, because it means it's another great year of talking sports with these two guys. Justin Marcus, happy holidays to you and your family, man. You're the best.
Hey, you guys are awesome as well. I love you both. I'm happy to be doing this. I don't give a fuck. Any comment or review or 2-star, 3-star, 5-star, screw them all. We got the three of us. It's all that matters. And Ian Book still sucks. I love you both. So have a wonderful, happy holiday.
Russ Ivanek, as always, you make us sound a lot smarter than we really are. In 2020, I'm sure we sounded dumber than ever, but guess what? You still made us sound great.
No, it's a blast, guys. Happy holidays again. But most of all, the happiest of holidays to Jack Fox.
Jack Fox.
Not the Fox Sports Detroit.
Fox Sports Detroit, man. You guys got to make something up for him here. This is not going well. And as always, for at least another couple of weeks, I am your host, Eric Dorsch. That is one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
Is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.